God's Word is very accessible to us today, but it can be easy to take for granted the power of the Word. Let's look at a few significant times where God's Word made an incredible impact on our culture. In early parts of humanity, a great nation called Egypt was shaken to its core by one man named Moses, who carried the words of God. In the first century, chains and imprisonment couldn't stop the spread of God's word through the Apostle Paul, who planted churches and spread the good news of God to many towns across the world. In quiet study, a devout priest named Martin Luther studied the book of Romans and was enlightened to deception in the church of that day. In Romans 3, the truth about justification inspired him to call out the false practices and proclaim the truth. He went on to translate the Bible into the language of the people, making it accessible to the common person. Corrie ten Boom was a devout follower of Christ who lived in Holland during the persecution of Jewish people in World War II. While providing a safe haven in her home, and then while sentenced to a concentration camp, she would share truths from the Bible during times of suffering and great despair. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. is known for his civil rights activism, but his vocation was a pastor, and the Bible was his source of inspiration as he challenged social discrimination in the U.S. His famous I Have a Dream speech includes several biblical references, and his dream was inspired by Joseph's dream in the book of Genesis. In the solemn speech by President Barack Obama at the 10th anniversary of 9/11, he quoted from Psalm 46 to offer comfort to those who mourn. As we look back at history's most memorable moments, we see people inspired by the power of God's Word.
Well, church, we're gathered here today, and I hope you've had a wonderful day as we come together tonight and as we celebrate this gift in this Word. 66 books have been put together, compiled Old Testament and New Testament that we lift up today, and it's part of our three-part series on what is it to be a Lutheran, and this is the third talk, and so we have just had some incredible teaching over the last couple weeks, and this night is going to be hopefully one of just like that as well. I've got some friends up here, co-workers here at Hope with me, Justin Stofa. You love him. He is a wonderful man of God. He's faithful. He's married. Sorry, ladies. And he has a beautiful baby. We're just so glad that he's here to have an opportunity to share with us here tonight. And he oversees our connection ministries, our life groups, and loves to help get you connected in the body of Christ. And so we're thankful for Justin. And here, you love her, you know her. This is the great Mary Steer. She is a wonderful woman who has done a lot in her past, and she's pretty familiar with the power of words. She spent most of her career working as a publisher for Des Moines Register, and also Gannett was president and had, 27 websites. 4,700 or 7,400 employees, and you managed all of this, and every day you presented words for people to read and stories to inspire, but also to just speak about the truths that were happening. And so we find ourselves tonight in a conversation about what is this word all about? What is God up to, and why as Lutherans is this like at the heart of who we are? I don't know about your experience or what faith background you came up in, or if you had a faith ground at all, but you probably didn't take very long for you to get inside these walls and to realize that we have a pretty high value around this as Lutherans. And it was Martin Luther who, as we heard in the video, that kind of thought that this was such an important thing. He spent a good part of his life translating the scriptures from the Latin and the Hebrew and the Greek into the common everyday people during the 1500s in Germany. And he felt it was such an important thing. He called it this word, the living voice. He didn't just think that this was something that should just remain on paper, but it was actually in the proclamation where that faith comes by hearing, as Paul writes in Romans 10. And so this word becomes so vital to the Lutheran movement during the 1500s. It's not going to be very long, and we're going to actually be celebrating 500 years as the Lutheran Church, and it's an incredible time of the church to think about how God has been present in both the past, the future, and today in the present. And so today we're lifting that up. And we're going to hear some stories from Mary and Justin of how they've encountered, how individually we sometimes can struggle to find our place in God's story, and how intimidating it can sometimes be to open up this word. Paul wrote about this, that we're not just supposed to talk about this. We're supposed to live it out. And in 1 Corinthians 4:20, Paul writes this: "For the kingdom of God is not just a lot of talk. It is living by God's power." And so I wanted to invite Justin to talk and share with us his experience with this living word. And Paul also writes in the first part of Romans, for he's not ashamed of this good news. He's not ashamed for this good news because it's the power of God at work. And so, Justin, what's your experience been?
Yeah, well, thank you, Pat, for putting me on the dating game here at first. That's good.
Well, you're off the you're off
of that, yeah. So I want to go back to the verse that you mentioned, 1 Corinthians 4:20. I think that it's a great place to start, because the kingdom of God is more than just a bunch of talk. It's of power. And if we were just to come to church every week and simply hear the word proclaimed, or to read our scripture or just memorize the verses, but if we failed to see the power that these words have to change our own lives and to impact this world around us, we'd be missing out on the great gift that God has for us. And so I've been asking myself a question this week. I've been asking myself, how much has this Bible impacted my life? How much have the words found in these scriptures influenced my decisions, my thoughts, my actions? And I think that's a question that all of us could ponder tonight. I think that's a question we should continue to look at in our own hearts. How much are we allowing for God's word to work into our lives? How much influence does it have? And so I soon realized, as I was thinking about this, if you would have asked me 10 or 15 years ago what my answer would be, I think it would have been quite a bit different. Some of you know this about me, but I grew up going to Catholic Mass every week. Almost every Sunday I was in church, and I was so thankful, looking back, to be able to be part of a church that was faithful and to have that exposure to hearing scriptures read. I believed at a very early age I believed in God. But the truth was, I didn't have a Bible at home. I really wasn't interested in reading scripture outside of just hearing it on Sunday mornings. And so my limited exposure to scripture limited my ability to see God's power and to see the way in which he was moving in my life. He was moving in incredible ways, but I just wasn't hearing it, wasn't seeing it. And so through my childhood and high school years, I sort of just developed a life phrase, if you will. Something like this: in the end, it'll all work out. Just trust God. It'll all be okay in the end. Just have faith. And so that was sort of my go-to verse, if you will. But I soon realized that life hands us all sorts of struggles and troubles, and some of them are small. Something in my life of small is not making the Little League team that all my friends were on, and the disappointment that that carried. I hoped that it would work out, but it didn't make sense in the moment. I remember when I broke my ankle my junior year during football season. I was so disappointed because I wanted to play alongside my friends. And I had hope that somehow that made sense, but in the moment it didn't really give me much assurance. Now, there were more serious times watching my parents grieve as they lost their parents and other loved ones in our families that passed away. And I had hope throughout all this time that God was somehow present, that he was going to make this all work out. But the truth was, I wasn't really sure of it. I really didn't know for sure if that's how it was all going to work out. But I hoped that it would. And so it wasn't until after high school, I was getting ready to head to college, and a friend of mine handed me a study Bible. Said, "I think you should take this along with you." And at first, I was really resistant. I wasn't sure that I wanted to open up the pages of Scripture. I was sort of comfortable in my own understanding, my simplistic view of, I'll just look big picture, it'll all work out, but small, the details of how it's going to be, I wasn't interested, or at least that's what I thought. I knew deeper in my heart that I longed to hear from God. I longed to hear from him in a more foundational way. I longed to hear from him. I resisted at first, but they were persistent, and so I accepted their gift. And I'd love to say that I opened up this study Bible and read it front to back, and it changed my life right away, but the truth was it didn't. I tucked it away, I put it on a shelf, and I didn't really touch it much my freshman year at college. And so during my time at Simpson, where I attended, it was at the end of my freshman year that I met this girl, and she invited me to come here to Lutheran Church of Hope. And a few years later, I married this girl, and we've been married for almost 5 years now. And I'm thankful to have her in my life and our little girl, but I'm also thankful that she invited me to come here to Hope. And as soon as I walked through the doors here, I realized that something was different. Something was different, and in fact, I realized, as Pat said earlier, that Lutherans have a really high view of Scripture, that the Bible is absolutely important. It seemed like whoever was up front preaching always had a Bible in hand. They were always reading from it and asking the congregation to read along with them, assuming that people had access to the Scripture. I saw that there were free Bibles that were being given away. If anybody needed a Bible, there was one free for the taking. If you need to give one away to someone, they said, give it to someone who needs it. Those Bibles are still out there. They're still free. If that's you tonight, or if that's someone that you know that you want to give a Bible to, please, no questions asked. But I learned that Lutherans had a high view of Scripture, and so I started reading the Bible more often. I started getting into small groups and studying the Scriptures. And I found that as I read through the Scriptures, there were some verses that really stuck out to me. And one verse that really struck me was from Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and don't depend on your own understanding. It resonated with me because it was in line with my heart that in this big picture, it'll all work out. Trust in the Lord. Don't depend on your own understanding, but trust in Him. But as I continued to read the pages of Scripture, I realized that reading the Bible is so much more than finding a verse and memorizing it and sharing it with someone. There was this incredible story that was being told. This incredible story about God, and it all circled around and centered on the life of Jesus Christ. As I read these pages and I read it of His amazing grace and this gift that He offered, all of a sudden my view of God changed dramatically. All of a sudden, this God that I had previously seen as a distant figure, only to call on in a time of need or He would be there to make sure that in the end everything would work out. This God, as I read in John 3:16, loved the world so much that He sent His one and only Son, that whoever would believe in Him would not perish but have eternal life. This is the good news. God came to earth. He came here and He gave His life for me. He gave His life for you. And I found these words to be so powerful. And as we just heard in the Scriptures, Jesus told His disciples when He appeared after the resurrection, go and tell the world of these words. Go and tell the world that no longer does death have the final say in life. No longer are your past mistakes what define you as a person. You've been set free. You've been given a new identity and a new purpose. And I'm so thankful that someone took the time to make sure that these words were accessible to me. And I hope you know that they're accessible to you and that they have power. And there's incredible value in sharing these words with others. And so Mary and I have been talking this past week, and she has an incredible story. An incredible story of how God has worked in her life as she shared these words with some of her close family.
Thanks, Justin. Mm-hmm. That was awesome. As Pat said earlier, in my former life, I published words, and there were lots of people in the world that thought that that was a really powerful thing, to be in control of those words. But what I've learned in ministry is what's far more powerful is to be able to share the word. And I would like to illustrate that with a story tonight. This past December, my husband and I had gone to a neighborhood party, and we came home about 9 o'clock that night, and my sister, my older sister, who lives in Topeka, Kansas, had surgery earlier that day. So there was a voicemail message on the house phone, and I thought, oh, okay, it's just Laura telling me everything's fine. And there was a message on the house phone from Laura that said, Mary, I want to talk to you tonight. Could you give me a call? So, of course, my heart starts beating faster, and I'm thinking, that doesn't sound so good. I steel myself, and I call her back, and she said, Mayor, when we were in surgery today and they opened me up, they found cancer. And I will tell you, that just leveled me. I was naive enough to think that cancer would never touch my family, because there wasn't a lick of cancer on either sides of my mother or my father's medical history in our family. It just leveled me. And so in the course of that conversation, we decided that I would go and see her in about a week. So as I was, because I wanted so badly when I heard the news, I wanted to be with her. I wanted to be physically right next to her and tend to her and love her. So we decided I would go and see her about a week later. And in the course of packing for that trip, I just had this nudging. That's the only way I can describe it. I just had this nudging that I should include a daily devotion book that I read each morning. The name of the book is called Jesus Calling, and a dear friend of me, who gave this book to me last year, is here tonight. And I had started reading this book, and it gives me great comfort. And it is written by a very talented writer by the name of Sarah Young. And I need to be really clear, this isn't the Bible, this is the Bible, but this book is written with daily devotions for each day of the year, and after each of the devotions, there's 2 to 4 pieces of scripture that follow that you can read afterwards. And it has given me great comfort. So I listened to that nudging, and I put it in my suitcase, and a week later I went to go see my sister. And I wasn't in her house 15 minutes, and I was kind of nervous about it because I was raised a traditional Lutheran. You know, you keep your faith close to your chest. You don't stand out at the farmer's market and proclaim the good news. You kind of keep your faith close to you. And so I was kind of nervous about it, that she was going to think that I was pushing my faith on her. And then I realized I was making it all about me. That if I had medicine that I could give to my sister that would make her well, of course I would give her that medicine. And giving her the word is like giving medicine for her soul. And so I said, Laura, I have this idea. I'd like to give you this daily devotion book, and I would like for you and my sister Marty, who lives in Waterloo, and I, to read this daily devotion book every day, every morning. And it doesn't matter that we're miles and miles and miles away from each other, that each morning that you in Topeka, Marty in Waterloo, and I in Des Moines can pick this up and we can share the word together each and every day. And she was so gracious, so open to the idea. And she said, that just sounds great. Let's do that. So all that crazy fear that I had was for naught. And over the months of January and February and March, when Laura had just grueling chemotherapy, each morning, the Park sisters got up and we would read our devotion. And what was so awesome was that the devotion's there, but then that scripture takes you all over the Bible, places I had never been before. And it was a really wonderful experience to feel that encouragement and that strength and that wisdom and that hope that only the scripture can give you. And in the course of that experience, I learned 3 things. I learned that scripture teaches me who I am, who God is, and who God calls me to be. So this past weekend, I was in Kansas City with my sisters celebrating my middle sister's birthday. And we were at dinner last Saturday night, and I asked them, did I have their permission to tell you the story tonight? And they said, of course. And I said, what was that experience like for you? I'd like to share what it was for me, but what was that like for you? And it was the most amazing conversation to have with 2 people I love dearly. And we've never had that type of conversation before. We talked about our go-to scripture. We talked about times when we were really scared. What was the scripture that had brought us comfort? And how much hope and peace being in the Word gave us each day. And I learned what my sister Laura's go-to scripture was, that she found in the course of reading scripture over the last several months. And I'd like to share it with you tonight. It's Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 27. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He will drive out your enemy before you, saying, destroy him. For my sister, that's cancer. I don't know what your enemy is. Sorry. I did really good this weekend till tonight. I don't know what your enemy is. I don't know if it's illness. I don't know if it's addiction. I don't know if it's financial problems. I don't know if you're just worried sick about somebody that you love. But what we learn in Scripture is that Jesus is calling each of us. And that God is the only one that can give us the type of peace that we yearn for. And underneath it all are his everlasting arms. Thank you.
I love Mary's story and the sincerity that she's feeling right now and the emotion. Because it's in those moments where this word, it hits us at different times. I'm sure that you've experienced where in, whether it's a roller coaster of a day or in the stress of a moment, or even just coming in and being surprised that God would have a word for you. We realize all of a sudden that this proclamation, this word, this living voice has something for us. And we can look throughout time and history in our own time and lives, and there's some times where there's something that's silent in the world. Sometimes the words just don't come. I don't think there's any coincidences that a woman in her 40s ended up in my office earlier this week. And she, I think, like many of us, we come to this word after Justin was a little intimidated as he shared in his story. But we come to those places in our life. She adopted a 4-year-old son, and now she was gripped with the idea. I got to figure out how to point this young man. I got to figure out what the meaning of life is. And I think if we're real, that's an honest pursuit. What is the purpose of my life? How does God work in this activity? And is he really good? In her growing up in the last 40 years, what she knew of God was what was told, what was modeled, what she saw flash through the news, and oftentimes seen Christians model hypocritically instead of what this word proclaimed. As Lutherans, we've talked about that first week, we talked about the grace of God, God's gift to us, and not only his son, but his love that was bestowed. And these 66 books are God's love story for us. It's his love story. And Pastor Richard did beautifully last week as he tied the Old Testament and the New Testament. He tied that together with the fact that the commandments are not just a bunch of rules, but it's part of the path. It's part of the journey to keep us from falling into the ditches. And for Lutherans, that's law and that's gospel. And there's this beautiful balance when we figure that all out. God's word's a gift. This word is not just for us, though. As Mary experienced, it's getting over the fear, getting over yourself, and saying, you know what, I think this can be a gift for you. And she experienced that. We desire this word, but it's not just for us. A Bible society, I did some study, because we know that Jesus isn't coming back until people hear this good news, right? The scriptures refer to that. And yet, there's still 4,000 languages that one piece of scripture they're waiting for. Millions of people still don't have access to this word, and we take that for granted, don't we? We have our Bible apps, we can download it really quickly. We forget about all the time and the effort that went into this book. Martin Luther, who had this passion to not allow it to stay in Latin, but to bring it into the common people's language. And you think it's any coincidence that the printing press was just right around the corner. God saw faithful people. God desired for his word, for them to know him. Not to happen through an interpreter, not happen just through the church, but to have it live within community and for it to be for all people. I'm always overwhelmed as a pastor, being here now for 12 years, of God's remarkable movement. Always amazed by how God's word just comes and how incredible it is to share it every once in a while. This past week also, as I was preparing for Friday to do rounds at the hospital, a coworker came up to me and shared with me that one of her good girlfriends just had a baby, and I was all excited. I love babies. But she had shared that within the course of 24 hours of this baby being born, this baby had a number of strokes and epileptic seizures. And the life was just in question. And she was asking, what kind of scripture can we share in a moment like this? Mary had to go to scripture that her sister developed and found through her course and her journey. I don't know what that is for you, but I'd encourage you to find it. Sometimes in my ministry, I've been led to this one, and you'd almost sneeze when you hear it because it sounds kind of like a sneeze. It's Zephaniah. Zephaniah 3:17. It's part of the prophetic works, and it's in between Habakkuk. Again, you have to cough on that one, and Haggai. But it reads this. For the Lord your God is living among you. He is a mighty Savior. He will take delight in you with gladness. With his love, he will calm all your fears and will rejoice over you with joyful songs. There's a time in our life where we just need some time and a moment to be able to be with our God, to let his words flow over us, to allow for his love to pick us up. I don't know what you need tonight. Maybe you just need quiet. Maybe it's just an opportunity to hear God's love story and the words that he has for you. He delights in you. And although there's things that we can have fears about in this world, he's got them all covered. And he holds you. He holds me. So hear these words. We're going to darken this room and let you have some time with your Lord tonight. Word of God, speak.
Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know you're in this place. Well, please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, please let me stay. my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. So please let me stay with you in your home.